Apis Malase. Do you remember? Cha. Also. Atmanam. The supersoul. Avijata. Unknown. Sakam. Friend. Sake. O friend. Hitva. Giving up. Mam, me. Padam, position. Anvichan, desiring. Bhoma, material. Boga, enjoyment. Rataha, attached to. Gataha, you became. So translation, the Brahmana continued, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. So you can repeat, the Brahmana continued. My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past, you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. It's a purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 27, Icha dvesha samutena dvanda mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. O scion of Bharata Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This is an explanation of how the living entity falls down into this material world. In the spiritual world, there is no duality, nor is there hate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself into many. In order to enjoy bliss more and more, the Supreme Lord expands himself in different categories. As mentioned in the Varaha Purana, he expands himself in Vishnu Tattva, that is the Swangsa expansion, and in his marginal potency, the Vividangsha, or the living entity. These expanded living entities are innumerable, just as the minute molecules of sunshine are innumerable expansions of the sun. The Vividangsha expansions, the marginal potencies of the Lord, are the living entities. When the living entities desire to enjoy themselves, they develop a consciousness of duality and come to hate the service of the Lord. In this way, the living entities fall into the material world. In the Prema Vivarta, it is said, Krishna Bharhi Muka Kanavoga Vancha Kare Nikatista Mai Tare Japatya Dhare. The natural position of the living entity is to serve the Lord in a transcendental loving attitude. When the living entity wants to become Krishna himself or imitate Krishna, he falls down into the material world. Since Krishna is the Supreme Father, his affection for the living entity is eternal. When the living entity falls down into the material world, the Supreme Lord, through his Swamsa expansion, Paramatma, keeps company with the living entity. In this way, the living entity may someday return home back to Godhead. By misusing his independence, the living entity falls down from the service of the Lord and takes a position in this material world as an enjoyer. That is to say, the living entity takes his position within a material body. Wanting to take a very exalted position, the living entity instead becomes entangled in a repetition of birth and death. He selects his position as a human being, a demigod, a cat, a dog, a tree, etc. In this way, the living entity selects a body out of 8,400,000 forms and tries to satisfy himself by a variety of material enjoyment. The supersoul, however, does not like him to do this. Consequently, the supersoul instructs him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord then takes charge of the living entity. But unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender to the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 5th chapter, text 29, the Lord says, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyutvamam shanti mrachati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. The Supreme Lord is the supreme friend of everyone. However, no one can take advantage of the Supreme Friend's instructions while making his own plans to become happy and entangling himself in the modes of material nature. When there is creation, the living entities take on different forms according to past desires. This means that all species or forms of life are simultaneously created. Darwin's theory stating that no human being existed from the beginning, but that humans evolved after many, many years is simply a nonsensical theory. From Vedic literature, we find that the first creature within the universe is Lord Brahma. Being the most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma could take charge of creating all the variety found within this material world. So, Apismarasi chatmanam avignata sakamsake hitva mam paramhan vichan voma boga rato gataha saum ganat madandasha gananjana shilakaya chakshur and meditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So in this verse and the purport by Srila Prabhupada very clearly states what our original position is, just like the GBC published a paper called Our Original Position. I don't know if any of you read it. It was a book. It says Our Original Position. And it was in response to another book published by people who said that we didn't come from the spiritual world. And the name of the book was Not Even the Leaves Fall from Vaikuntha. Yeah. Not Even the Leaves Fall from Vaikuntha is the other book. So it's very interesting, this whole discussion, because the leaf people, they said that originally we were contained in something called the Tathashta. Tathashta basically means in Sanskrit marginal. And we are a Tathashta Shakti. We are actually the marginal potency. We're not arguing with that. But they said that we were actually originally from the Tathashta region. And it's interesting that there is no description in the Vedic literatures of this Tathashta region, you know, place where the Tathashta energy is emanating from. Actually, we're expansions of Krishna. But we're marginal because we can go either way. That's just it's an ontological description of us. It's not a geographical description of some location. The Tathashta region. You know, where is the Tathashta? You never hear about this. I mean, there's different regions that are described. Now, of course, the material world, the coverings of the material universes, which are each 10 times bigger than the other as you go from earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. There's the causal ocean, and the Mahavishnu lying down in the causal ocean. And then you have the Vaikuntha planets. There's different regions, obviously, different geographical, spiritual, or material regions. I'm just like in this earth planet, we have different continents. But there's no Tathashta region. And because the living entities, as is very clear from the Bhagavad Gita, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that the living entities are eternal. Also, nicha nicha nam, chetana chetana nam, eko bo, nam yo vidarati kama. Isn't it? So many descriptions. That's from the Shveta Shvata Upanishad. There's many eternals, one supreme eternal, and the supreme eternal is providing the needs for the plural eternals. So their basic argument, just to sum it up, is that we are called in this material world Nityabada. You understand? Nityabada means eternally conditioned, or as we say, eternally bada, bad. I know that's not the translation, but, you know, eternally conditioned. You know, here there's Nityabada, there's Nityamukta, there's Sadhansiddha, Nityasiddha, there's Kripasiddha. Anyway, there's different categories, but we are Nityabada. Welcome to the material world. So we are, anyway, so we're Nityabada. So they take this description as meaning Nitya in the sense of always was, always will be, like that. So this is interesting because Nitya, the word Nitya or eternal, is used, and this is described in the book that was put out by the GBC, our original position. Nitya can be used as something for a very long time, just like the demigods are called Amara. Amara means without death. But that's really not true absolutely. It's a relative statement. Relative in the sense that they live such a long time. You know, Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam. 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Lord Brahma's one day. Can you imagine that? 1,000 Divya Yugas. That is 4,300,000 years times 1,000. That's one day. I mean, I'm sure he's taking a lot of health foods to stay. You know, maybe he's a raw food something or whatever. Anyway, not really. He has four heads, and sometimes he has more heads. So anyway, therefore, someone like Lord Brahma is called Amara because, you know, it's so long, it's just as good as eternity. We can say that, you know, it's eternal. He's living eternally, or the demigods are generally called Amara. But that's just the contextual statement in relationship. Contextual statement, that's a relative statement. It's relative in relationship to us. You know, when we talk about relative, we're not talking about your aunts and cousins and uncles. We're talking about in relationship to something else. Relative to us, they live eternally. Okay? I mean, for us, it's just like, I mean, in the span of Lord Brahma's one day, how many lifetimes have we had? You know, Lord Sahasra Yuga, 1,000 ages, 4,300,000. So we've had probably several billion lifetimes in Lord Brahma's one day. Pretty amazing. And, you know, even in the time of the demigods like Indra. So it's relative. So the word Nitya can refer to something that's, you know, very long time. It can refer to something, depending on the context, that has no beginning but has an end. It can refer to something that has a beginning and has no end, depending on the context. Do you understand? So when we talk about Nityabada, it means that we've been here so long. I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. Anyway, so we've been here so long in the material world that it's just about forever. Isn't it? So many lifetimes of Lord Brahma and so many breaths of the Mahavishnu. You know, each time Mahavishnu breathes out, the material universes are created. Each time he breathes in, and that breath is the time of the life of Lord Brahma. So that's a long breath. Like that. Anyway, it's interesting. So that's their primary argument, you know, the use of the word Nitya when in relationship to us. Nityabada, eternally conditioned. Primary argument, and there's a lot of misquoting from the Acharyas that they do. However, if you have someone who's really expert in Sanskrit, as Sri Nandananda Maharaj was, who was the primary author of this book, original position, you'll see that the Acharyas very much corroborate Srila Prabhupada's presentation here that we are originally Krishna conscious living entities. So, of course, Prabhupada didn't really harp on that point. In other words, he didn't continually mention it again and again and again, because it's really, it's not that important for us. Whether we came from the Tathashta Shakti or we came from the spiritual world, we're here. Yeah, that's the point. And Prabhupada told the story, the crow and towel logic. You know, there was this famous story that Prabhupada said that regardless of where you came from, or like a drowning man example that Prabhupada would give, if you're drowning in the ocean and someone wants to throw you a life preserver, do you ask, how did I get here? I mean, usually you were on a ship and you slipped off the deck, and because you had some traumatic experience, people, it's interesting, when people have like a traumatic accident or something, they don't remember what happened during the accident. When you read this all the time, that someone is driving a car and they get hit by another car or something like that, and they just remember leaving their house that day. There's actually a gap of time that the memory is blacked out. They just don't remember because of the trauma that they've experienced. It's a physiological phenomena. So, anyway, so if you're drowning, you may not remember how you got in the water. So what do? Someone throws you a life preserver and say, wait a second, I want to figure out how I got here first. And then we'll talk about saving me. No. Basically, you get the heck out of here, and then you could start to talk a little philosophy once you're back in the spiritual world, which you won't be interested in anyway, because you'll be with Krishna. You'll be, you know, playing with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, serving Krishna, cooking for Krishna, and you're not really going to be interested in what happened when you're in the material world. I mean, you hear this question very often from devotees: when I go back to the spiritual world, will I remember what I was doing in the material world? And my answer is, you won't want to remember. You know, why are you going to want to remember? You know, you had an old body and it was all creaky, and you were in Hillsborough, North Carolina. I mean, you remember your guru. But the other stuff, you know, my mother, when I was young, you know, just like you have all these stupid memories that come to your mind, at least I do, that, you know, my mother used to spank me when I was young. And how many mothers have I had? How many spankings have I had? You know, probably billions of spankings through many, many lifetimes of this material world, right? So you won't want to remember. I mean, just like if you're doing something fun in this world, you forget your problems. Like if you go bungee jumping or something, it's supposed to be fun. So, you know, anyway, you jump off the bridge and you have this little rubber band that's supposed to catch you. Sometimes it breaks. But you jump off the bridge and you're just like flying through the air. Wow. Or you're probably not remembering how your mother was mean to you that morning. You know, it's the last thing in your mind when you're doing something like that. When you're doing something fun. So the spiritual world is so much fun, so you don't want to remember. In any case, it's really not a topic that you find the Acharyas dealing with it at length. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, basically, anadi karma pale, that one's material existence is without beginning and cannot be understood. The seed of it, or the root of it, can't be understood. It's just something that's a chincha. You know, actually, but we were with Krishna originally. Prabhupada did say that. We know that. How it was we were with Krishna, what we were doing, whether we were dancing with Krishna or whether we were just looking at Krishna's pastimes with our binoculars, I don't know. You know, whether we're, you know, standing on some, whatever it is, you know, some Vaikuntha planet with binoculars looking towards Goloka Vrindavan, you know. I don't know that. I mean, the Acharyas don't really talk about that because it's not a significant thing. It's not really significant. The significant thing is you got to get out of here. And you got to go back to Krishna. And you got to love Krishna. And you don't worry about those things. And Prabhupada didn't encourage us to worry about those things. So then we get to the point is, why do people get into it? You know, what is the psychological, spiritual reason that people get into this particular subject matter? Well, there's several. One is, of course, it may be a political means for hurting people's faith in Prabhupada so that they can take people away. You know, it may be that. I'm not saying in every case it's like that. You know, I'm not accusing anyone of anything. It may be like that. That, you know, and I saw that, you know, just like if you come across a different group of Vaishnavas or devotees or religious people, you don't harp on the differences. Like if I go to the Christians and I, you know, talking to a Christian, I mean, of course, one thing we do harp on was that, you know, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not kill," and you know that's what Prabhupada said. But basically, besides that, you don't get into the philosophical nitpicking with them. You just don't do that. You know, you try to find a common ground with people, unless you actually want to convince them to give up what they're doing and join you. It depends on your motivation. But generally, you find a common ground. I mean, when I speak. Even when I speak to people like New Age people, you know, I don't really try to just smash them to bits, telling them that, you know, all this New Age nonsense, your yoga is all a bunch of hogwash, which it is. But because Patanjali never taught more than one or two postures, you know. It's not that Iyengar is some, like, great personality is because he could twist his body in millions of ways. You know, they have these charts. I have one disciple on his wall. He has a chart like with thousands of different postures on it. You know, and people are going to the hospital because they can't get out of their posture. They have to extricate the person from their posture. So. And there's all these different types of yoga that people are teaching nowadays that have come out of people's fertile brains, right? I mean, is it, huh? I mean, so many different types of yoga, so-called yoga. Anyway, so when I speak to these people, I don't just, like, start smashing them. I just say, oh, sorry, you're practicing yoga. Let's chant Hare Krishna together. You know? It's because we're trying to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So anyway, if I were to smash people, the idea would be for the reason of convincing them to join me. So when you get into these philosophical fine points, and there are philosophical fine points between even different sampradayas, you know, bona fide sampradayas. Then it just creates animosity, and it may be very political. Your intention may be very political. I didn't say it necessarily is, but it may be political. So that's what I saw with a lot of situations previously. People were just harping on this point. You ISKCON devotees don't understand the basic philosophy. Even there was one website that says, "You ISKCON devotees are Mayavadis because you think we came from the spiritual world." You know, huh? I mean, is it? They look for an opportunity, and this isn't just another group. This is the Ritvik group says that. You know, so people are just looking for an opportunity to criticize. So that went maybe one reason. Another reason is that one doesn't want to accept personal responsibility for being here in the material world, because here, you know, this verse and purport directly point out personal responsibility. You gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer. Misusing his independence. I'm looking at the purport, different places. Living entity wants to become Krishna himself or imitate Krishna. In other words, we're not just like a victim because our position is that we're fallen. Like when you say someone is eternally fallen, then, you know, it ain't my fault, babe. you know, as they say. You know, it's not my fault. You know, I'm eternally fallen. What do you want? You know, give me some mercy, but I'm not responsible for my being here in the material world. So, basically, it's very important, especially nowadays, people don't want to take responsibility for the position they're in. They say, you know, I was born in this family. It's not my fault. This happened to me. This happened. But it's karma, you know. You did something. You did something. Believe me. It's your fault. I mean, we don't want to become all guilty. You know, it's my fault. Everything's my... Not everything's your fault. You know, that's another thing. You go too far extreme like that, that everything, you know, the economy is bad, it's my fault. The weather's bad, it's my fault. The karmic reaction from it. You know, you're not that important. That everything happening in the material world is your fault. But think... Is that people get into that, you know. That's one extreme. You know, that's not accepting responsibility. That's called depression. It's a different thing. So, we take responsibility for the position we're in. You know, this body, the reason I got this body, it's my fault I got this body. I wanted it. Like Prabhupada said here about the body. He selects his position as a human being. So I selected it. Prabhupada directly uses the word selects here. It's like if I go to, what is this store? Some electronic store. Anyway. I select what I want to buy. You know, I can't say the devil made me buy the computer. You know, the devil. So I select. He probably says he selects his position as a human being, a demigod, a cat, a dog. I selected my body as a dog. The dog is a dog because he selected it. You know, that's it. It's your fault, dog. It's like there's this cat that hangs around the computer shed, isn't it? That cat selected the body of a cat. It's interesting. No problem. So Prabhupada here in this purport is indicating responsibility. We are responsible. And we are also responsible for going back to Godhead. It's not that, on the other hand, you know, give me your magic mercy, Guru Dave. Like they had this thing when I was young, pluck your magic twanger, you know. I don't remember that. No, you don't remember that. That was a comic. That was, anyway, children's thing. There was a... Anyway, it was, I won't say what it was. It was a frog. But so, you know, we want to be hit on the head by some magic wand by the guru, or a magic foot by the guru, and then it's like, now I'm Krishna conscious. Wow, thank you, Guru Dave. And then the guru says, I gave you all my potency and now I lost everything. That's my body stuff. So we are responsible for however Krishna conscious or how much un-Krishna conscious or how much our senses are out of control. It's not that we deny responsibility. Because modern day, it's very common we deny responsibility. You made me do this. You made me do that. You made me angry. You made me frustrated. I mean, it's denying responsibility, or Maya, or the devil made me do it, or Maya forced me to do it. So this is very common. So Prabhupada here in this purport is really putting the whole burden on us. I mean, this is implicit in the purport. The Prabhupada is putting the whole burden on us to become Krishna conscious. So we decide it, and we can undecide, or we can decide the opposite, and then go back to home, back to Godhead. So instead of selecting a position as a human being, demigod, cat, dog, a tree, etc., we can select our position as a coward boy, a gopi, a parent of Krishna, a servant of Krishna. We can select this that same thing if we want to. Okay? So any questions or comments? We got about 4 minutes. What? And you can select to go on Sankirtan, too.
Some people have to
Yeah. Yeah, the right time. First of all, we have to unselect. It's like if you have on a computer, you know, like they call it, in Europe it's called you tick this or tick that. In America, you don't have that expression. In America, you say check this or check that, right? But in the first time I heard this in Europe is in India, tick this, tick that. What's a tick? I didn't understand what it meant. So it's just like sometimes when you're loading a program on the computer, it's a little computer information, that it says, do you want to install this add-on on your browser? And it's a little checkbox, and you have to uncheck it when you're installing the program. I don't know if anyone's ever installed the program, but you have that sometimes. Otherwise, you'd have all these different add-ons in your browsers that would drive you crazy. A browser is something you look at the internet with, for those of you who don't know. So you have to uncheck, first of all, you have to uncheck the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. As Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha. Avyatma Nichava Nivritta Kama Dvandvara Vimuktar Sukaduka Samgar Kachanchi Muda Paramaviyam Tat. One has to be unchecked, the Nirmana, the desire for prestige or adoration. Just like Amanina Amanadeta, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nirmana Moha. So uncheck that one. No more prestige. Moha, illusion. Nirmana Moha. Jitta Sangada, you have to give up bad association. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. What? Sat Sangatya, Vaishnava Char. Jitta Sangada Char. Vinivritta Kama, one has to give up lust. How do you give up lust? That's a big one. That you don't start contemplating sense objects. You contemplate Krishna. So, vinivritta kama dvandvar, and what Prabhupada talks about here, the duality. Dvandvar vimukta, one has to be liberated from duality. The duality that Prabhupada is indicating here is the duality is that something, that I and mine type of stuff. This is mine, this is yours. This is the basic duality from which you get other dualities, you know. The other dualities are something like heat and cold, pleasure and pain, summer and winter seasons. These are all different dualities that come from the original duality of mine and yours, or the false ego. False ego, like that. There's duality. Something can belong to me. Dvandvara vimukta sukha dukha sangyar, known as like happiness and distress. Kachancha mudha padamavyam tat. Such a way one can actually transcend this material world. It's such an unbewildered person. Kachancha mudha padamavyam, the supreme abode, tat, can reach Krishna's supreme abode. So, yeah, there's a prerequisite. There's a process for doing it. But we're responsible for the process. Understand? Actually, in the Gita, there's an interesting verse that says the material nature is responsible for the actions and reactions, and the living entity is responsible for the enjoyments and sufferings in this world. So, you know, it's just like the material nature acts in a certain way, and if we use it properly for serving Krishna, then we can enjoy, and if we don't use it properly, then we suffer. It's just, the material nature is neutral in that sense. But you chose to get on the material ride. Just like one time I chose to get on a roller coaster. It's not the roller coaster's fault that I was sick as a dog. It was just the nature of the beast. You know, one of these big monster roller coasters. You go up and you go down and decide, forget it. It was hellish. And in the material world, people think that the enjoyment you get from going on a ride that makes you miserable is happiness. In the amusement park, it's like that. You know, the roller coaster, you can scream in agony, and that's bliss. Or the centrifuge where you sit against, where you spin and you're pressed against the wall like that. your cheeks are coming out because of the G-forces, you know, that are pushing you against the wall. Oh, wasn't that fun? It's amazing how much fun people have. Or bungee jumping, you know, jumping off a bridge so you can bounce up like a ball and, you know, twist your spine in the process or whatever they do. Anyway, so, yeah, this is a process. So any other questions or comments? No, one more time. It's interesting. So this is a very important verse in purport that we can cite. That means quote. When we're talking about where we came from, you know, what was our original position. And Prabhupada is extremely clear in many places in the purport about us coming from the spiritual realm. And, you know, I have faith in Srila Prabhupada's words. Prabhupada said it, it's true. It's not just simply a preaching strategy. Prabhupada did not utilize preaching strategy.